B-Pod Studios.
What day is today? What is today?
Nudie Magazine Day?
It's too damn hot for a penguin just to be walking around. Well, of all the things I thought I'd start the show with, I didn't think it'd be a Billy Madison quote. By the way, I enjoyed the. I came 3,000 miles to give you my seed. Nice work, Jamie.
You're welcome.
Thanks for doing the five.
Don't praise him.
I have to, Bob.
Stop it. You're feeding a fed horse.
It's not very often you can work that line in, Bob.
Yeah, no, you got to celebrate.
It was kind of funny, dude.
Train everybody's cracking up. Well, what day is today? I just want to make this clear for people. What is today?
The 19th?
Day of the week.
Tuesday.
Tuesday. Bob, what's today?
Tuesday.
Trey, what's today?
Tuesday.
Incorrect, all of you.
Really?
It has been Wednesday.
Is it Saturday? I can go home?
March 20th. No. It has been Wednesday, March 20th, since Sunday at around 6:30. You know why that is? Because that's the day the Sixers played the Celtics again. And the minute they wrapped up the game back on, whatever, March 12th, whatever it was when they played the Celtics. Ever since that game ended, this date, tomorrow, officially tomorrow, if you're going by the Julian calendar or whatever it's called, that ever since then, that date has been circled on my calendar.
See, you're making me mad.
Well, why is that? Why is that, Bob?
You're overlooking there's a game tonight, Mark, and if they lose this game tonight, it could have big ramifications into the seeding in the Eastern Conference.
Mm, yes.
It's people like you that do harm to sports.
Mm, oh. Really? Here's my counter-argument to that.
Wow.
Here's my counter-argument. What do you think of that, Bob?
See that line tonight? Sixers only favored by 1.5.
What?
That's a Charlotte Hornets line. That means Sixers are in trouble tonight.
See, this is what I hope.
And you're looking right past it.
I am. I so am, and I absolutely acknowledge that wholeheartedly.
It's like a puddle on the floor. You're stepping right over tonight, right into tomorrow.
Now, this is where a man like Trey Thomas comes in handy, because you've had games where you've played, you've had opponents that you've been better than on paper, and you've had games after those opponents that you can't look past. And we're going to tap into that, the ex-athlete's mind here, because as a fan, as a member of the media, I look at this game tonight against Charlotte and go, oh, this is a fun exhibition. And I just hope and I realize that the 76ers can't look at it like that. But just from someone who's getting caught up in the Sixers versus Celtics hype, and it feels good to be back in that hype again. But as someone that's getting caught up in that, I'm already looking at tomorrow night. Yes, it's a back-to-back. Yeah, you're not even playing Joel Embiid tonight and all that stuff, and you want him to be ready to go by tomorrow. But to me, ever since that game back on February 12th, Sixers lost by 3, 112-109 at home. March 20th has been circled on the calendar, and that is, I understand, tomorrow night. But for me, mentally, I'm already there. Looking past the Hornets, who are about 7 games under 500 at this point. I can't wait for tomorrow. I feel like it's almost, for some other people that are maybe just casual basketball fans, this is like the night before a big primetime NFL matchup for me. I can't wait for tip-off tomorrow night. You're at home. I'll be down there at the Wells Fargo Center for this. I can't wait to be in that environment. It's going to be electric, Bob. You'll be down there.
I can't wait
for that type of environment again.
No, yeah, I can't either. And Celtics fans travel pretty well, so that adds to it, because it's fun. There's fun interaction in there. It's going to be great. And I really think the Sixers are gearing themselves towards tomorrow night, especially with sitting out Joel Embiid tonight. I wonder if there will be another player that might sit. As I said yesterday, we might hear something after shoot around this morning that somebody has gastroenteritis. tomorrow will be... You think Sunday was playoff atmosphere like, and it was?
Mm-hmm.
Tomorrow night's going to be times 20.
Again, ever since they wrapped up the game against the Bucks, I have just been all focused on Wednesday night. Can't wait.
Hope the Sixers players aren't.
Yeah, really.
So what is this element that everybody is like gastro?
Yeah, for some reason, more than any other team in the league, they get the poop festers going.
Oh, okay.
Hashtag NBA poops.
Got you. Okay.
So is it a charitable cause?
Just sometimes it goes local.
What, do I donate money to that? How much should I donate?
Similar to the water boys.
Before we go any further, we do have a personal announcement we have to make on this radio show. I don't know who this person is to my left.
Yeah, you know what? Who
is this guy?
There was a change yesterday, and I thought, and then he walked in this morning. I was like, there is a change here.
Trey Thomas, usually a bit of a bushier beard.
Yeah.
I guess, the beard equivalent of high and tight. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. Took it off, man. You know, it's the first day of spring.
You got a little baby face going on right now.
Yeah, you know.
He does look younger without it, doesn't he?
Yeah. And then, like, I don't gray, you know, so it's... just goes.
Yeah,
you know,
man.
Just take it off a little bit.
A tighter beard.
Yeah, just tight. You know,
I was definitely looking at it yesterday. I was like, something's different.
I didn't
different.
Even notice it yesterday.
Yeah,
something's
cool.
Different. Wow. And then he walked in this morning. I was like, it's the beard.
Yeah, took the beard off, man.
This is wild.
Yeah.
This is wild.
Yeah.
We'll have to do a side-by-side and have people vote.
Okay.
See what they like.
All right.
I just wanted to get that out of the way because it's distracting for me. Distracting, but, well, yeah, distracting.
Well, as a look squatter, you know, the beard maintenance is
totally
important.
Totally.
It is.
And speaking of people that I do believe have a sense of, not in a negative way, it's a negative connotation to this word, a little vanity. You know, people that have a little vanity about them. Our boy Gabe Kapler. Who I like. And I don't want to go into a ripping Gabe Kapler program today.
You guys are dripping with sweat. Gave us a very valiant effort.
And Jamie, you're not going to make that easy. Thank you. But I'm a little concerned about everything that unfolded yesterday. And the story came out while we were on the air about Carlos Santana going into the locker room, going into the clubhouse, and busting up a TV that players were playing Fortnite on during the game. This happened towards the end of the season. I think the article said 2 days left in the season.
Yeah.
2 games left. Still, nonetheless, when you're playing that bad for as long as the Phillies were playing, no distractions, no excuses. You don't play video games during the course of a game. Now, there's been denials about during games, whether or not they've been played. There was not a denial, just to emphasize that, about actually busting up equipment in the video room. So I'm very much bothered by this story. And the idea that there's a manager that would allow this to happen, whether they knew about it or not, still have control of that clubhouse as a manager. I understand that's not why they call you a coach. That's why they call you a manager. You're supposed to manage these personalities. Do that. And Gabe is someone that has a lot of confidence about him, and a lot of that's warranted. And Andy McPhail talks about it all the time. He's a guy who was about a 50th round pick in the draft and made it to the majors and played 12 years in the big leagues and all that. That's great. Have that type of wherewithal to know what your players are thinking, know how they're feeling, know when they're distracted. And to me, Trey, if you're looking for a guy to be a leader of men, if any of this story is true, which it appears like a good amount of it was, this is an epic fail by the manager.
Yes, but he was saying that he didn't know about it, and
well, how do you not know? Even that's an indictment of the guy who's supposed to be running the clubhouse.
Well, he's on the field. I mean, he's out there coaching his players, so he wouldn't know if somebody was lagging behind in the clubhouse playing a video game.
That's why you have assistants,
which is just ridiculous to me that, you know, they have this type of freedom that, and I'm thinking what you guys were saying, that these were backup pitchers or pitchers that weren't, you know, like, what was going on with that? I mean,
yeah, like I was saying yesterday, there's guys, the relievers that may have pitched in night four, that relievers, they know they're not playing. Mm-hmm. So for them to be in the clubhouse might not be, a manager wouldn't be, you know, against it. Mm-hmm. But if he didn't know this was going on, Mark, I agree with you. My God, that's horrible.
I was very disturbed by it yesterday. And I actually, I'm not the biggest fan of Carlos Santana. I wasn't a big fan of his acquisition last year.
Well, now.
That was my height of liking Carlos Santana. Maybe, I think it was June. He had a red hot June and I liked him. But other than that, I was looking at his, you know, his career here and all that, and the on-base percentage is great, whatever. I never thought the signing made a lot of sense to begin with, because it was moving Rhys Hoskins away from first base. But I loved him yesterday. That showed me a guy that was looking to be a veteran leader. And I don't want a Phillies team that is only winning 19 games after August 5th like they did last year. And you have a lot of money invested in this team. Gabe Kapler is already in a little hot water right now. He's a guy that has, anytime, and Brett Brown's in a similar boat, because anytime you have a guy that's a GM that's adding this much talent to your roster, that's on the manager then. That's on the coach then, to find a way to make it work. And Gabe Kapler needs to find a way to make all this work. And if he can't police the clubhouse, at all, similar to last year, like he did in the last 2 months, well, then he's going to have some major issues. And this city is going to have a lot of issues because regardless of what people tell you, when money is spent like this, people want instant results.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't going to be a patient fan base. Oh, well, they need to gel. These are going to be people who are going to be out for blood if Bryce Harper goes 0 for 20 in his first 20 at-bats with the Phillies. You know, these are going to be people that are going to want instant gratification when it comes to the Phillies. I don't see this being a patient fan base when this money's on the table, and Gabe Kapler is going to be the guy that is charged to make it work.
How did Santana catch this?
How did he catch this?
What the player's playing video games while everybody else is playing.
I'm sure somebody either told him or he walked by the TV.
Mm.
And Jake Arrieta admitted that there was video games being played. He just didn't say it was during games.
During games. Okay.
Fortnite.
Yeah, Fortnite. And then, my kids play Fortnite. And I thought this was more of an online game.
Uh-huh.
So it's not one of those tight games. It's not like
they don't have to play together.
Yeah, it's not like the old school Halo where you can hook up multiple units and we can all
Halo.
Be and be on the same
the four box screen.
Yeah,
I think you can. I haven't played Fortnite, but I think you can be with somebody and on the same team and like kill people? Question mark. I believe you can play together and online at the same time.
Okay,
so two guys can sit there and be teammates and try to kill another team and sync up with other weirdos on the internet.
to
use technical terms.
Yes.
Yeah, when I play my kids, I have to have one hooked up on my first level, and then they're down in the basement, and then like we play against each other.
Oh, you can't even do it side by side.
It's not a side by side type game.
This is Fortnite?
Yeah.
Do you like it?
I hate it. Because I don't know how to play it, but you know.
My wife's nephews have played Fortnite. They downloaded it to my TV or whatever it was, or to my PS4.
Yeah, it's free, apparently.
Yeah,
and then they sell you stuff.
Well, remember, Mike and Del Rey was telling us about his kid playing, and you have to buy the clothes and all this other stuff, and like dance moves or something.
Like I checked my card, and my son had already charged like $50 worth of dance moves, and you know.
They had
I'm glad you found it funny. I was pissed.
They had Fortnite Friday at the Wings game a week or so ago, and they had a llama in the
Is that part of the game?
Yeah, the llama brings you supplies or something like that.
My picture taken with a llama.
That's ridiculous.
And that was the second interaction I had in my life with a llama.
Do you know apparently the Fortnite World Championship?
You
got jail
for the first one, didn't you?
Wait, what happened?
Oh, I'm sorry.
What?
I was talking about your llama encounter.
Apparently the Fortnite World Championship can yield you $30 million.
See that, kids?
Yeah.
School doesn't matter.
The Masters, to put that in perspective, the Masters is like $12
million.
So don't play golf. Go play Fortnite, kids.
Yeah, you'll sweat less.
Yeah, they have tutors.
Get out of here.
Parents are signing their kids up for like
Fortnite lessons?
Yeah, little seminars on how to, you know, conquer Fortnite. I don't know.
And how much money, Jamie? How much?
$30 million, I heard.
Million. Forget everything I said. Carlos Santana's a jerk. These no-name guys could be making more money playing Fortnite
than to get
Major
better.
League Baseball.
They're trying to get better, man.
We're going to get into everything here. I want to know if anybody else is already looking past tonight with the Sixers and the Hornets.
No.
I want to know. No, look, obviously no players are going to be calling, saying they're looking past it. But I want to hear from people that might already be looking at tomorrow night's matchup with the Celtics as really the big game on the 76ers schedule. Fran Dumphy's going to join us at 8:45 this morning. They got Belmont tonight, one of the play-in games in the NCAA tournament. 17th NCAA tournament appearance for Fran Dumphy. We'll get into that, of course, as we talk to Fran coming up at 8:45. Then how about this? Couple of names from the past in Philadelphia sports. One, a good friend of yours, Todd Harriman.
Yeah.
And Riley Cote, formerly of the Flyers. They'll be in studio with us in the 9 o'clock hour. Talk about some things that they have going on. I had the opportunity to talk to Brent Celek last night. I had the opportunity to talk to Harold Carmichael last night about the Sean Jackson. I met up with them at a Eagles event. They're pretty excited to have D-Jax back.
That just reminded me, man. I called Brent Celek and left a voicemail and everything. He never hit me back.
He never hit you back?
No.
You should have told me. I would have ripped him a little bit for you.
I got to make sure when I see him. Just thought about that.
Ripped him. I would have been
not
like, oh,
right.
Excuse me, Mr. Celek. So we'll get into all that and more. And really, all about everything with Gabe Kapler and whether or not you feel Gabe Kapler is the right guy to lead this clubhouse after reading the story that came out yesterday? If that affected your opinion,
let's open it up in chat.
If that affected your opinion of Gabe Kapler at all, 610-632-0975. Time to the Fanatic. Wide open board for you if you want to jump on. 610-632-0975. Time to the Fanatic, 615.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Welcome back, everybody. Farzetta and Trey in the morning. We do have our Twitter poll brought to you by Window Nation. Sam Wilson, what do we have today?
This morning we asked, is Gabe Kapler the right manager to lead this clubhouse? We have just under 50 votes so far because I just put it up. 67% say yes.
67%. I like confidence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, because look, I think Gabe Kapler learned a lot from his rookie year. But after all, as a manager, of course, after reading this story from Jeff Passan of ESPN.com about Carlos Santana smashing a TV, players playing the video game during actual games, that's extremely upsetting. We mentioned earlier, Jake Arrieta said he wasn't sure whether or not people were actually playing during the game. But nonetheless, should that be going on? Absolutely not. We can all agree on that.
Yeah.
Gabe Kapler has to do a better job, I feel, of, and this might be an overdramatic term, but policing his clubhouse. Making sure everybody is laser-focused. For a guy that always talks about being laser-focused, he should make sure that his players are laser-focused. Because towards the end of the season last year, they absolutely collapsed. Let's go around the horn. I'm going to say right now, I think Gabe has learned a lot from his rookie year, and he is the right man for the job. What do you say, Trey?
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that last year was just a learning experience. I mean, you knew that there were going to be some mistakes. And, you know, I think that he's going to correct everything and move forward.
All right, Bob, where would line the side of the fence you on?
I'm a wait and see still. Last year I wasn't so on board. I was more. I'm not a fire this guy type of guy. Uh-huh. That's not me. I don't call for that.
I am when called for.
I'll say the team should make a move maybe or something. But I'm not. You know, I'm not that. But anyway, he's still on my radar. Like I'm not positive yet.
All right, Jamie Lynch, where you at?
I'm the proud leader of the Gabe Pride Parade. Have been since the start of last year. I'm sticking by my man.
A lot of high fives for you?
Yeah, a lot of high fives, a lot of dripping sweat. Just not on my end because exercise is gross.
You're presenting beautifully,
guys are
Jamie.
Dripping with sweat.
But yes, I support the Gabe. I stand side by side with him, and I think it's going to be much better.
Okay, so you see improvement.
Yeah, I mean, the lineup should be set. I don't think he's going to have to tinker as much. He's probably going to overmanage the bullpen and do situational stuff, and he'll probably do some wacky things like bat occasional pitchers eighth. But outside of that, I think he'll be set, and it's a little more established team.
All right, Sam, where are you at here?
I think he is. I think there's so many different components into managing that your rookie season, you deserve like a leeway.
A little leeway?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so Trey, here's the thing. Mm-hmm. As the guy in this room that played, when you have a coach, now this could be a position coach, it could be a head coach, whatever you had in your career. Now, how important is it to not just have a guy that really owns the locker room, owns the clubhouse in baseball, but a guy that kind of, I don't know, knows how to push the buttons of each individual player?
Okay, well when it comes to the locker room, the coaches don't own the locker room. That's going to be your players that are policing that. You know, so you want to put together a situation where your players are taking care of that situation and making sure that part of it is tight. Now, once they step outside of that locker room, then now that's when your coaches step into play and they own everything outside of that environment. And so that's where it becomes extremely important. But you got to you have to have your leaders in place to kind of manage that locker room and what's going on in that area.
Well, how odd is it that this is what it had to come to? Carlos Santana smashing a TV.
Yeah, that's probably because you don't have enough players stepping up and saying, hey, man, let's not do that or whatever. And it just got to the point where now you have someone that just lost it and went in there and smashed all the TVs out. Like, you've had situations where if a team isn't doing well, where they take away certain privileges, you know? So, yeah, that's just certain things that happened, but it had gotten to, for it to be like that serious for him to take a bat to a TV, you know, and I'm pretty sure it was a beautiful TV.
Yeah.
Nice size.
Probably. Yeah,
I'm sure the clubhouse has good TVs.
Nice TVs.
Maybe LGs.
Yeah, these aren't VCRs. Yeah, they're rewinding tape on.
A little 19 inches. I mean, you know, this is like a 60, 80 inch maybe.
Maybe. He might have had to take two swings.
Yeah, you know, but, you know, for it to be that situation, you know, it had to have been bad.
Well, see, so it comes out that Carlos Santana did this. Mm-hmm. And it's he says that it was a couple of games left of the season. They were playing the Atlanta Braves at the time, and he kind of knew that these players were doing this. I don't think this was the first time they did it.
No.
I think this is the first time Carlos Santana got fed up with it and probably figured, I'm probably going to be out of here at the end of the year, you know, but next year anyway. I'm going to go ahead and send these guys a message.
Yeah.
As a veteran.
Yeah.
But for him to get wind of this, I understand. Because, look, you keep things in the workplace. Sometimes you keep things away from your bosses, right? And it's stuff that only the employees know about. Something would tell me, though, that you would know whether or not guys are going back to the clubhouse, even if it was the video room, to play video games. Like, I don't understand how that would be kept from, I don't know. I feel like even if an equipment manager saw it, they'd pass it along to the manager.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it was not obviously a big announcement that it was happening, but just kind of, hey, just so you know, I know it's the end of the year, but there are guys out there that are just, they're playing video games. Just to let you know. To let you know what's going on in your clubhouse. I feel like a guy like Gabe Kapler would have, I don't know, somehow known about it.
Yeah, Trey, like, I'm sure you guys had games in your locker room, right? Yeah. Like, is that up to, like, not to say do you need coach approval to get that stuff in there, but, like, does he oversee, like, kind of the rights you have in there, or is that strictly players?
They're strictly players that bring certain stuff in, because guys are bringing an Xbox or whatever, and then they hook it up to the monitor, and then there you go. But because there was one time where Big Red was like, all right, we snatching all this up out of here. You know, so, you know, hey, unplug it all. Let's go.
Yeah, really?
You guys are messing around too much, you know. So there have been situations like that. But, you know, I'm thinking that with Gabe, this being his first year there, you know, just trying to you know, let the guys, just trying to see also what kind of players do you have in your locker room? You know, because now this is going to help make decisions for how you're going to move forward. Are these guys that I can trust? Are these guys that I want to keep on my squad?
Mm. Well, but what point does the play, what time, at what point does the coach come in there? Like you said, Andy Reid came in there and unplugged everything, right? Yeah. At what point is it the manager or coach's responsibility to come in there and break things up like that? And at what point does it exceed the players and go to the manager or the coach?
I'm thinking once everything starts going downhill and you see like players are checking out and anytime the first time somebody was in there playing video games during the game, I'm thinking that should have been, you know, all right, you know what, guys? You're not taking the right approach with this. You know, when we're out here trying to win or doing whatever we're out here trying to win, and we have guys that are in the locker room back playing video games, you know, that sends a bad message. That not to just the fans, but also to everybody in that locker room.
I'm looking at it. It's weird, Bob. I know you've been around locker rooms a long time. It seems like this is a situation where it just got too big for the players themselves.
Yeah, and look, if it's something that started at the beginning of the year and the Phillies were playing really well, you're in first place and all that, and guys might have overlooked it because of the success,
mm-hmm.
that still bothers me. Like, that shouldn't be going on. I don't care if you're undefeated after 40 games in baseball. You're out on the field when the game's being played.
That's not get carried away. If they're 40-0, you can play some Fortnite.
Yeah, see, that's why you're an idiot. But, you know, Gabe had to know. Now, was it a case where Gabe maybe said to Carlos Santana, it's funny how the one veteran, real veteran on the team was the one that did this.
Mm-hmm.
Was it Gabe who said, look, can you get my back and get those guys to stop? I don't know.
I think Gabe would have said that. Yesterday when he was asked about it, I think Gabe would have said, look, I was aware. I was.
It means more coming from a player than it does for me.
Exactly.
Yep. So, because that did cross my mind. Mm-hmm. You know, funny how the, like,
and the guy who's gone.
Right. Like, it's almost too perfect that it was Carlos Santana,
right?
You know what I mean?
Perfect scapegoat.
Right. So, did Gabe, you know, have to go to him and say, look, can you go take care of this? And Santana's like, cool, yeah. And then he went to break something? Yeah.
All right.
I don't know. But the fact that it happened in the first place, it's horrible. It's not good.
According to Gabe Kapler, he said he didn't know anyone was playing video games. Jake Arrieta said players did play video games, but he didn't think it was during games.
Sure. Yeah, I don't believe you.
Sure, sure, they're tons of fun. Kapler did say that he thought it was unacceptable, 100%, and didn't deny. Here's the interesting. Did not deny that Carlos Santana busted up a few TVs.
Well, I'm not going to say it didn't happen.
But these have to be, all be relievers because everybody else is position players, so you're out there on the field.
You'd hope so?
Yeah. So who else?
The starting pitchers, I guess, if they, you know, they could do it as well.
Look, I don't want to just, look, here's the bottom line.
But if I'm another starting pitcher, I'm going, Arrieta, you're not watching me? You're Fortnite dancing in the back locker room? Like, exactly. Come on, man. I want to pick your brain. Like, watch me pitch.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And that's probably why Jake probably was like, because it's his group.
It, maybe.
Yeah. Probably.
But here's the thing. Like, I don't want to just, we don't know who it was. Like, we're not, we can't
no,
be 100% sure. So
it's pitchers.
This could be.
It's definitely pitchers.
This could be.
Apparently, Nick Williams is quite the Fortnite player. I've heard that the big Fortnite crew.
Not a baseball player.
Was Nick Williams, Arrieta, Vince Velasquez, and you know, there's quotes saying, like, if you needed to find those guys in downtime, they're in the player's lounge playing Fortnite.
Okay. All right. Wow. So, Nick Williams is a guy that could be going in a game at any time.
Yes.
All right.
I wouldn't think he's one. In game, that is.
If you meet Nick Williams, like, this guy's a video game guy. Like, that's not a knock on the guy. He's just a real chill dude. And a lot of chill dudes are playing video games. Whatever. But
what do you mean that? Define chill?
Chill. Just, like, relaxed. That's all I mean. Like, don't you read into what I'm saying, Trent. Don't you try to find lines between what I'm saying and read between those fine lines. I am just saying, I have met and spoken to Nick Williams a number of times, and I'm like, yeah, this guy chills play video games.
Okay.
All right. I'm just saying. Nothing else. No other implication.
No worries. Okay.
I consider myself a chill dude because I game from time to time. Yeah. I'll rock out a little Far Cry. I'm a little behind the times. Whatever.
Okay. Far Cry.
Shut up.
How old is that?
Why don't you shut up? Far Cry 5, bro. Come on now. It's the most recent of the Far Cries. But I haven't gotten into the Fortnite, but usually it's sports games or it's Far Cry. Whatever. Yeah. I'm liberating countries. I'm doing the world a favor. But with, like, I'll chill out and just play a game or two, but I'm not going to do it during the course of a radio show.
Yeah, no.
While I'm at work, because there's work to be done.
There's work to
and
be done.
Especially, as you mentioned, you have Jake Arrieta, a veteran. Who's to say that a younger pitcher, even Aaron Nola, is going to walk off the mound and be like, I'm having trouble with this one hitter. You know, how can I get this guy out and pick the brain of another pitcher? Yeah. How can Nick Williams, if it is him, any other player that maybe was a starter or would go into a part-time role at different stints of the season, how do we know that he wasn't walking off the field and could have come back on to try to help? If he could be missing pitches, he could be missing at-bats, not say missing at-bats, but missing at-bats of not his own, but of his teammates, where he's trying to help them out or trying to learn himself.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's 3.5 hours.
Yeah.
You can't lay off the video games for 3.5 hours.
These are relievers. I'm thinking these are pitchers. I'm convinced that these are pitchers that are doing this.
I just think it's a bad... Trey, if you're out there, and I know you were always focused on the guy in front of you and doing that, but it doesn't really make you look like a good teammate when your teammates are out there on the field, you know, busting their ass, and you're in there, you know, doing the floss dance.
Yeah, that would piss you off. But you know what? It's kind of like when we would be out at practice, and we out there, and it's hot, you know, big red. It's like a Thursday practice, and it's one of those long practices. And then you come in, and David Akers and John Dornbos are sitting on the sofa chilling. Watching some Oprah or something, you know. You're like, what in the hell is going on in here?
Right.
That's what it was.
Now, see, that's where I have no problem there because, like, how many times do you want John Dorenbos to long snap?
What do you mean?
For two hours?
Get some of this scout team work, man. Give us some of that.
Go run.
Yeah, man. I don't know.
It's a very young team last year. When you look at the roster, like,
yeah.
I guess you can ask the question, should Gabe have given them that much kind of freedom?
Well, here's where I'll actually defend Gabe for last year. Rhys Hoskins, if you remember, and we've brought this up before, Rhys Hoskins went out to Odubel Herrera after Odubel Herrera didn't slide in the second base on a potential double.
Mm.
He should have had to. He got tagged out. And it was the final out of the inning. The Phillies would have had a runner in scoring position. And he runs up out of the dugout. Rhys Hoskins runs out of the dugout, goes up to Odubel Herrera, and just very calmly, not over-animated or anything like that, just gives him a talking to. I was like, dude, we need to be better than that.
Come on, bro.
And that's a young Reese Hoskins doing that to Odubel Herrera. You would think that a younger guy like that was displaying those types of leadership skills, that maybe he would have been able to talk to other guys in the clubhouse and be like, dude, seriously, video games? But maybe he didn't have that type of pull with these guys. And I'm not putting it on Reese. I'm just saying that if you were Gabe Kapler and you're looking at that situation, which was fairly early in the season, for Reese Hoskins to try to police his own clubhouse, maybe you are going to leave it up. Okay, look, I have a younger guy that's willing to take on a leadership role like that. All right, fine. Maybe I'll let him, be the leader of the clubhouse.
Yeah, I wonder why Santana came out with it now. Like, I'm sure he wasn't specifically asked. So listen, anything happened in the Phillies clubhouse last year?
Right.
You know, like, why now? Did he not get along with Kapler? Was this an indictment on Kapler by him? Was it just, oh yeah, things were messed up in Philly last year. I had to break a couple TV sets because guys are playing maybe Fortnite. There's obviously more to this story. Hopefully more comes out, but, damning on Kapler. Could be that he handled it properly, that he got his veteran leader to go smash a couple TVs. Mm-hmm. I don't know yet, but yeah, the fact that guys were even thinking of playing during a game, I mean, there's no excuse. Like, it comes out of Jamie's mouth, well, they're a young team. Like, as soon as I hear excuses, and I'm not saying you were given excuses, Jamie, but
wondering if he should have given them that because they're so young.
Right, you're right, okay. Yeah, like that, there's no need for it. Everything shuts down at game time. You're in the bullpen or you're on the bench, and it's full game on. There's none of this other shenanigans.
Here's the
I hate that word, shenanigans.
Well, here's how Gabe Kapler described it. So he says, Carlos became frustrated as that's what happens in high-tension situations.
A.K.A. losing.
Shenanigans. he responded by smashing up some TVs. I do love how it's multiple TVs.
Best hit of the year.
I don't.
Well, because Fortnite, you have to have different systems, and they're all on different TVs.
Oh, my God.
This makes sense.
You don't need that in Far Cry, bro. Here's what he says. He says, I don't think that's uncommon. Yeah, it's pretty uncommon to smash up TVs. I don't think it's uncommon to see players get frustrated in high-tension situations. That happens every clubhouse and every clubhouse environment. Yeah, okay, that I get. Mm-hmm. But to have to go the lengths of smashing televisions?
Yeah.
I would hope that it doesn't come to that. I would hope it doesn't come to that again.
Can we go check out their clubhouse? I would like to go see that.
Yeah, yeah, sounds pretty cool.
Was it like six monitors all up in there? Everybody had multiple systems. And like, who are they linking up and playing during a game? Like,
maybe other teams around the league.
No, yeah, I was going to say, yeah, right? The other team's bullpen.
Yeah,
Braves bullpen.
Oh, you want to do a Braves, Phillies, what do they call it? The Mayhem or some kind of thing?
Because it's got to be somebody.
Battle Royale.
Want them outing you. Like, I don't need a 12-year-old kid going, oh, guess what? I was playing against Nishak last night in Fortnite at around 8 o'clock. Oh, yeah, that was the second inning of the Phillies game. What the hell is he doing, you know? So maybe they are hooking up with other major league. But maybe this is common thread.
Well, there's a tweet here from Michael Bauman, who covers the Astros for The Athletic. He put this out yesterday in regards to this story. And he said, I'm just going to throw this out of here. The 2017 Astros played more Fortnite than any group of human beings I've ever encountered in my life.
Huh. And they won the World Series?
Correct.
Oh. Well, now I feel better.
So, when I first heard the story, I thought of fried chicken and beer Red Sox.
Yes.
And they quickly won thereafter, too, didn't they?
Yes.
I believe it was 2-3 years
after
that.
They also fired their manager.
Yes. So... Sorry, Gabe, but, you know.
Here we go. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. We have to celebrate an American hero's birthday coming up in a couple of minutes, and we'll talk about that in a few here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
When I say the name Bruce Willis, what is the first thing that comes to mind, Bob?
Penns Grove, New Jersey.
Die Hard. Die Hard.
Die Hard.
Die Harder. Die even harder, harder.
Die Hardest.
Yippee-ki-yay-yay.
Yippee-ki-yay. I think of a writer for the Houston Chronicle. That's what I was kidding. No, John McClane, of course, that we've had on the show.
What was that other movie where they were all hitmen?
Oh, Redemption? Red Redemption or
something like that?
Yeah. I haven't seen that one.
Yeah, I've seen it.
Last Man Standing.
Yes.
That was cool.
Yes. I that's one of those movies I saw once and really liked, but I just haven't seen it.
Pulp Fiction. Bunch.
Like, all these movies, just home runs.
Yeah.
Like, dude, what a career.
He's the most underrated Philly export, I think. Philly area export. Because nobody ever thinks of him as a Philly guy.
As a Jersey. See, I find Bruce it funny that...
Philly? What?
Jersey. Yeah.
South Jersey.
Yeah.
Prince Grove.
Oh, okay.
But South Jersey, as we know, is basically Philly.
And Bob, the most Jersey...
Right, Bob?
The most Jersey of all the Jersey people I know, right away goes to Penns Grove.
Penns Grove, New Jersey.
Did you see it? Now, it's, the reason I bring it up is because this American action hero, it's his birthday today, 64 mm-hmm. years old, the great Bruce Willis, and just a slew of hits. And here's the interesting thing about the Bruce Willis. I have recently learned just how transcendent this guy is. Because I didn't even know, because I never watched the show. It's my wife's favorite show, Friends. He was on like a bunch of episodes of Friends.
Yeah, he dated Phoebe, I think.
Oh, yeah. No, not Phoebe.
It was Jennifer Aniston. Yeah.
One of the people was dating his daughter.
Yeah, Ross dated his daughter.
Right.
And I remember because my wife also watches, and there was an incident where they were at his house, and he came with Jennifer Aniston looking for the slap and tickle time and saw his daughter with Ross.
I don't think that phraseology was used.
Oh,
but,
no.
Yes, he was in that episode. Now, here's the thing. There's a show called Love on Netflix, which I actually like. It's a really good show. Judd Apatow produces it.
Oh, I watched the first season. It was good.
Yeah. So they actually point this out in the movie, or excuse me, in the show. They talk about the show. They talk about the movie Die Hard on the show Friends.
Really?
Yet, Rachel dates Bruce Willis, who is a fictional character, portraying a fictional character of somebody else in the show. So when they meet Bruce Willis, it's like the vortex, you know, the worlds collide, but they never acknowledge.
The Jackal.
Huh.
The Jackal, about the assassin, whatever it was, yeah.
Yeah, man.
I didn't, that's good friends knowledge by you there, Mark Farzetta.
Does that not blow your mind?
Not at all.
I didn't know this.
Not at all.
Sixth Sense is a phenomenal movie, of course.
Sixth Sense is a very good movie.
Phil, right here in Philadelphia.
Yeah. 12 Monkeys.
That was in Philly as well.
Yeah, another Philly based
12
movie.
Monkeys was really cool.
That was weird and good. Yeah. It was a strange flick.
Sin
City.
Another great movie. Like just cranking out the hits, this guy.
Yeah, wow.
And I'll say this. His roast was one of the best roasts I've ever seen. On Comedy Central, Bruce Willis roast was absolutely 100% phenomenal. You're still scrolling his movies, Trey.
Yeah, man. Expendables.
Lucky
number 7, dude.
That's one I did not
see. That's a good movie.
First ballot Hall of Famer.
You've never seen Lucky Number 7?
I have not seen Lucky Number 7.
Wow.
Probably because saying 11 makes me feel a little skeevy.
And he got Demi Moore.
He did. And
how about that?
Multiple children.
Guess his net worth, because I always like playing this.
Net worth for Bruce Willis, $100 million.
I'll go higher.
Yeah,
I'll go like 125.
Trey?
I would say about 2.
Yeah. Right, I'm going to change $1.
Trey's closest. Net worth, 180 mil.
Yeah.
You would expect a little bit more. I don't know if there's a guy that I spent like my childhood wanting to be, like non-athlete.
Yeah.
I wanted to be Bruce Willis.
Really?
Like you see Die Hard? I was like, I could totally take on those guys in Nakatomi Plaza.
Yeah, with one gun?
Yeah, oh my God, absolutely. No
I don't
shoes.
Need shoes.
Yeah, I run around barefoot all the time anyway. I totally got this. No problem.
Wow.
But no, those are like, if you could be one action movie character, who would be the action movie character you'd be?
Arnold!
You'd be
the last Boy Scout?
Wait, do you mean the
I mean
character?
I
you don't
mean
the
character.
Yeah.
John McClane. I wanted to be John McClane.
By the way, Last Boy Scout, awesome movie.
Yeah, underrated film.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Damon Wayans, Bruce Willis.
If you could be one...
Riding on a horse.
Hell yeah.
Throwing the football.
Shooting helicopters out of the sky or stadiums.
Just give me the football. Okay. I like how they pleasantly say hello to him when he rides onto the football field on a horse, and then they give him the football.
You guys haven't watched Split yet, have you?
No, I'm sorry.
No, sorry, Trey.
No, it doesn't happen. If you could be one action movie character, who would it be?
Oh, man.
There's only one person that rivals John McClane in my mind. At least.
I got one.
All right, who's your guy?
Indiana Jones.
That was my second.
Oh, really?
I swear, I'm not even kidding. Yeah, that was absolutely my second.
Last action hero.
You're an Arnold guy. I never knew this. You loved Arnold that much.
I love Arnold.
Wasn't it Arnold, Sly Stallone, and Bruce Willis that did the Planet Hollywood thing
back
in the 90s?
Of course. That's right. Yeah. And then they were also in the Expendables. I believe Bruce Willis was in that as well.
Yeah, that was to pay their debt from the Planet Hollywood debacle.
That would be Stallone, man. Cliffhanger.
Cliffhanger. Yeah. I forget the character.
Just jacked. Yeah.
That was supposed to be his like last action movie.
Dude, he was ripped.
And then he kept going.
Cliffhanger.
He was.
I would throw Han Solo in the mix.
That's a good one.
Harrison Ford, two of the big three that we've mentioned.
Who's yours? Who's your number one?
My number one's John McClane.
Oh, it is John McClane.
I would be John McClane. Yeah, if it wasn't John McClane, then it would definitely be Indiana Jones. My love of history, and I hate Nazis. So it's my two favorite things right there. That's two. That's like, what, three of the four Indiana Jones movies?
Yeah, basically.
And how about this? According to IMDb, apparently Bruce Willis is working on another Die Hard film.
Whoa. Really? Not for real?
Is it called Die Already?
I've been dead. Resurrected.
Die Already.
It's resurrected.
Die Hard 7. Oh, already dead, now resurrected. The John McClane.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.